shotgun snap. Manziel back in the pocket. Looking. Now pulls up. Now he's going to, with a flag down, he's throwing down the field. Benjamin's got it at the 40, 35, 30, 25, 20. Up the far sideline. He's inside the 15-yard line down near the 10 and a half. With a flag down on the far side of the field. Back at the 46-yard line. And I think it's against the Steelers, Doug.
Yeah, you would have to think for that far down the field, it's got to be pass holding. Interference holding. Or holding.
Defense number 22. That penalty is declined. He's out of the play. It's a first down.
60.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, be sure to tune in to News Channel 5, the new TV home of the Cleveland Browns, every Sunday for Browns pregame coverage all season long, beginning at 11 a.m. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm back here. We're going to go with your reaction today. We'll have Jim Donovan at the top of the hour, but you guys keep blowing up the phone lines. I'm sure you have a lot to say, so we're going to go ahead and just go with that. We're going to start with Marty in Cleveland. Marty, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. I was glad that you answered the one caller about that consistency, saying the right type of consistency. Because the way that they've had this thing just fall apart, they're not doing enough to keep their jobs. And I'm speaking of the coaching staff. I think most Browns fans want to root for this group, but you can't do it in the way that they're getting beat down. If you see the games across the league, it's a 3-point or a 7-point decision. When they're losing by double digits week after week, their forte is the defense. And it's probably the worst aspect of the team right now. They talk a lot about these other teams, Marvin Lewis and what he did. If you look back, he started 8-8, 8-8, and then went 10-6. I think if Pettine had that type of record, he'd be given the benefit of doubt and given more time.
There's no doubt. Thank you very much for the call. I think there's no doubt, you know, and that's something that having been a part of this show and diving into the Cleveland Browns fan base and living in Northeast Ohio most of my life and now being back for the last 3.5, 4 years, people want a competitive football team. They want a team that goes out each and every Sunday that they're proud to wear their Browns gear because of the fight in this football team. And they'll take you win some, you lose some mentality. It's the consistency of losing, the consistency of the non-competition that we have fallen victim to as of late that is just so, so frustrating.
Well, yeah, you lose four games in a row by 2 touchdowns or more. It is frustrating. Very frustrating. 216-578-0850. Let's go to Mike in Northern California. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. You know, after the Cincinnati Bengal games, the game, I started thinking, let's do a shout out to all the past NFL coaches and people involved in the NFL to try to get an advisory committee to help this team find a way to be successful. It was just an idea. I don't know that's ever been done. But, you know, another thing that I wanted to mention was, and it's really hard because when you're 2-8 or 2-6, 2-7, it's, you know, it's really hard. And you got all these injuries. So hard to maintain a winning attitude. And I'm sure that's partly what's going on. Even though they talk about maintaining it, it's got to be hard.
It is. Everything about this is tough. I would agree.
Yeah. You know, I think that there's, I don't know what to say about the defense, but on offense, we've watched both McCown and Manziel struggle looking for receivers. Something about the way the receivers run their patterns isn't getting them open, whether they're not experienced or the coaching isn't teaching it. They're just standing there looking for an open receiver. There's something wrong with that. I watched Palmer. 1-2-3-step plant throw, 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it was a long ball. It's like we need some of that. Why couldn't we throw the fade? Why couldn't we throw the fade like we did with Barnett when we were in the red zone 3 times and kept trying to do little stuff?
Yeah, you know? And they did go back to the fade. They tried that with Barnett. But you remember, too, Carson Palmer's got Larry Fitzgerald on one side and Michael Floyd on the other, who both stand well over 6 feet, 200 pounds, physical, big, easy targets. Their one guy who runs around like crazy is John Brown, who has a lot more room to do so because of the fact they have those two big guys. And this is a question I wanted to ask you. It was sitting there, and it was occurring to me yesterday as I was watching the game. And I want to know if this –
So you think of me during the football game?
I think of you all the time. And I want to know if I'm way off base here. But answer this. When you – wasn't it easier for you when you had to go against Tony Gonzalez because you were going against Antonio Gates every day?
Yeah, of course you get better.
You get better, and you have somebody who can reasonably simulate Antonio Tony Gonzalez. Who do the Browns have on their team that can reasonably simulate Martavis Bryant? Who can reasonably simulate the week before Michael Floyd? Who could reasonably simulate the week before that A.J. Green? Who could reasonably simulate Kenny Britt, who went deep on the Browns? If you think about it back to even that St. Louis game, and you think about Emmanuel Sanders. Now, you do have somebody who could simulate Emmanuel Sanders, but nobody Demaryius Thomas. Think about the vertical passes that have happened on this defense in this four-game, in this five-game slide, specifically in the three or the four where they've been beaten by 14 or more points. You had Britt go deep. You had Michael Floyd deep. You had Fitzgerald was wide open deep. Emmanuel Sanders. And then, of course, this past week in Cincinnati, it was a guy, you didn't get beat deep by Cincinnati. They didn't really even take any shots deep on you. But they came out clearly with the game plan, Pittsburgh, to attack them vertically, and it worked. Does that matter? Does it matter that there is not a single wide receiver or player on this team that could go out there and give you any type of a scout team look for Martavis Bryant?
Yeah. I mean, it's very difficult to do because very few and far between during the week in preparation, this deep into the season, do you ever hit full speed running? You know, you would think you would think that, you know, the receivers are running their routes as fast as they would in the game. They don't. You know, I don't say you're coasting, but you're going 80%. And I think the point that you're trying to make is if you don't really understand that you can get run by Martavis Bryant, Emmanuel Sanders, Antonio Brown, so on and so forth, by anybody in practice, if you're only going at 80% in the game, and it goes back to the point that I consistently make, is you overestimate your speed or your ability to make up that margin of yardage while the football is in the air, and you're underestimating how fast these guys really are.
Who do we have on our roster that plays cornerback that's over 6 feet tall and runs a low 4.340?
None.
At cornerback.
Who? Justin Gilbert?
Yes.
The only guy?
Yes.
Okay.
And he was inactive for this game. And I want to see, in addition to seeing Johnny Manziel, I want to see Justin Gilbert play over the final six games of this year. Because this is what I believe. He may not be a great practice player. He may not be a great game player. And if we see that it's out there for all the world to see, that's fine and dandy. But right now you have a situation with Justin Gilbert where he is inactive in a banged up secondary. For one, you're saying because you want to see Charles Gaines. I want to see my first round pick, eighth overall, a year ago, a heck of a lot more than I'm interested in seeing a sixth round corner out of Louisville.
Right?
Me. This is Nathan Segura.
Okay? I get it.
There is not a measurement large enough on this planet or has ever been created for how much more I would rather see Justin Gilbert, the eighth overall pick in the draft, at cornerback, play cornerback against Martavis Bryant and Antonio Brown one-on-one than Johnson Batamosi. And that is no disrespect to Johnson Batamosi, great special teams player, but there is no reason that we're having this experiment with him at cornerback when you've got Justin Gilbert. And maybe he is that bad. And you know what? If the coaches are like, he is that bad, maybe he is. It might be just easier to just prove it to the world that he is that bad.
But if he's not that bad, wouldn't you like to know that you've got a guy that can cover Martavis Bryant for the next 5 years in our division?
Let's be honest. After Cincinnati last year, if you had said, based on this snippet, Johnny Manziel couldn't play quarterback in the NFL. Okay? Okay. But what's happened? You certainly can't make that claim after this game against the Steelers.
Nope.
He at least showed you the ceiling is there for him to be able to play quarterback in this NFL, move a football team against a good defense on the road. You need to see. So maybe, what about Justin Gilbert? So maybe he has a couple times out there where he looks like he can't play. Is there ever going to be a point where he can play? Is there? I don't know, but I want to find out. That's, to me, something that these last six games are about. What's the ceiling for Johnson Batamosi at corner.
It's there.
I think we're seeing it already.
That's what I mean.
And it's low. I mean, Carson Palmer salivating to get the ball to throw it one-on-one for a touchdown to Larry Fitzgerald. Ben Roethlisberger salivating to throw it one-on-one to Antonio Brown on Batamosi. And that's not his fault. I don't know that he should be in that position. I don't know that he can handle
that. Did you ever foresee Johnson Batamosi actively playing a corner rep for this football team when we etched his name in stone once we made the trade for Andy Lee?
No. He was a safety before. He wasn't even a corner on this roster before this year. I just want to see those guys. It's mind-boggling, some of the things that happened, and I hope that this team now is at a point where, all right, let's see. Justin Gilbert, especially if he's not showing it in practice, let him sink or swim for all the world to see, because he at least athletically gives you a chance against those guys.
Right.
At least athletically. I don't know if he may not know the coverages. Maybe that's why he's not playing. I have no idea. I'm not in those rooms. But I would like to see an opportunity at some point. You got to just play football. Tremont Williams talked about that. At some point, you got to just play football. Justin Gilbert's been pretty good at playing football until he's gotten to this point, and he's really never even been given a chance to play corner. Now, there were times last year when he played, he looked totally unprepared. But he also flashed for you on that pick six return against Andrew Luck.
Yes, he did.
Haven't seen him really play defense at all. 216-578-0850. But when we come back, we're going to talk with the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Jim Donovan.